ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
Yeah, I found it really frustrating, to be honest, just because I do see that improvement in some of the players for sure. And when improvement isn't rewarded, there's frustration.
Wallabies coach Joe Schmidt, he does not normally give much away. So for him to admit the Australians are feeling the pinch, I feel like it says a bit. Is this necessary medicine or are we watching a downward spiral? That in a moment with Phil Kearns. We're unpacking the confronting Mary Fowler racism story with ex-Matilda Alicia Ferguson. Soundbites includes Steve Smith roasting Monty Panesar. Didn't see that coming. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Alicia Ferguson is a former Matilda. These days she's coaching. She's also worked as a player liaison at recent times, including the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup in Australia. Ish, I suspect like many, you were somewhat rattled by the news that Mary Fowler experienced racism while playing for Montpellier in the French competition. I mean, the incident that everyone is talking about is being handed bananas instead of flowers as a farewell gift. I mean, what was your reaction when you saw that story?
Yeah, it's pretty horrible, first and foremost, the fact that that happened to those players in that environment. I mean, I can understand how much that affected Mary, just absolutely horrible. But it's just something we constantly see and we continually see in sport. And there's so many campaigns, there's taking the knee. But what is it actually doing? Like, I feel like there's still a lot of fans and a lot of people within sport, not just football, that are still being given a platform to spit out hate, abuse and racist abuse to players. And, you know, it does have an effect on their mental health.
And to cop that from a teammate, I think, is quite jarring. And when I first read this account from Mary Fowler's book, I was sort of doing mental gymnastics. I was like, how could this be the case? And it was intriguing to me to see that Mary was going through the same process, that she was sort of almost making excuses initially for her teammate before she realised, no, this isn't okay. And for her to be, you know, engaging with that, I think we sort of think about someone like Fowler as being superhuman, but this was 2022. She would have been just 19 to 20 years old. Does it speak to like the level of vulnerability these young men and women are sort of in?
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, talking about the casual racism within changing rooms as a huge issue in men's football. So the fear about the discrimination, the racism, the sex, the homophobia is still so prevalent. And I was filming with Mary for the Disney doco when she was at Montpellier, and she didn't leave too long after that. She had support of a couple of her brothers staying over there and living with her in Montpellier. But one, it's a lonely existence as a young footballer. Two, you don't speak the language. You're trying to integrate culturally into that environment. And then to experience that would be one, surprising, jarring, and it probably made her take a step back. And then that whole processing, as you said, it's just like, this is not okay. I think it's great that she's brought it to light in her book.
So over the last few months, I've chosen to put on paper glimpses of some past experiences moving through my teens into young adulthood. My main hope is that this book falls into the hands of someone who might be in need of a little light or reassurance.
And I think it's great that people are talking about it because we need to continue having these conversations.
Yeah, that's the sort of the next juncture, I think. It's really impressive. I think she's opened up about this, but also her struggles with mental health, how she considered even potentially walking away from the game at one point. How big is it to have a global star speaking out and showing a level of vulnerability on issues like that, Ish?
I think it's great because I do feel like there's still this expectation that if you were a professional athlete, it has to be your be-all and end-all. You can't have a personality outside your identity in the sporting world. You can't have other interests. Like, if you're a professional athlete, it means you live and breathe it. But that's actually not the case. And it's not the case for Mary. And I think it just proves that you can have a profession where you are hugely talented, but you don't have to identify as a footballer. And she's identifying far more as an individual. And I think some people find that a little difficult or tricky to understand. But Mary is an introvert. She's a shy person.
Most people around me know that I like to keep my personal life private. And being an introvert at heart, I hate oversharing. And I also hate looking like an attention seeker.
She's a different personality to some of the other bigger stars who you know when they're around. They're loud, they're boisterous, they've got You know, they do. They just have those big personalities. She is built differently, and I think we all have to respect that.
And going about it her own way, you love to see it. Impressive stuff. Hey, Alicia, thanks so much for helping us understand this story. Obviously, a very negative one in some respects, but kind of positive at the same time.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you asking to talk about it, Stacky, but I just need to remind everyone that we all need to speak out about these things. If we're experiencing them in our own environment, then we all have a responsibility to speak up. So thanks for chatting to me about it.
Just a quick note before we move on, that Montpellier has released a statement rejecting Fowler's allegations. The Wallabies' final international of 2025 takes place Sunday morning when they play France. Things have not gone well for Australia on this tour. Wallabies legend Phil Kearns is here to talk about it. Phil, 1958, that was the last time Australia went winless on a European tour. They'll need to beat France to dodge that history. Joe Schmidt, he's on the tail end of his tenure, and I just wonder, how much of what we're seeing is necessary medicine and how much is just downward trend?
That's a really interesting question because, you know, a few months ago, Joe was the hero, had a good series against the British Lions. In fact, we should have won that series, but we won't comment on referees. And then, you know, we had a great win against South Africa and just seems to have faded away. And you don't become a bad coach from being a good coach in the space of a couple of months. So I'm not sure what's really happened over that period. It's certainly been an enormously difficult campaign, 15 tests over this period. That's a lot of test matches to play, particularly this day and age where the intensity of all contact sport, but the intensity of rugby has increased massively. And at the same time, the countries from different parts of the world that may not have been, you know, strong rugby countries have become incredibly strong as the game grows in those places, Argentina and Italy, just to name two.
Yeah, it was really intriguing to hear you speak to Schmidt because he's someone who's so traditionally understated, and his press conference overnight, he spoke to that level of frustration.
I can tell you, I know how hard the players are working and what it means to them, and they are frustrated that they feel like they've let supporters down.
This is a guy who is clearly pouring everything he can into this. And as you say, at times there's been optimism around the Wallabies, but less so right now. Can you find cause for optimism when you watch this Australian side right now?
The frustrating thing is that we get ourselves in a scoring position and then under pressure, throw it away. Against Ireland, that was particularly obvious. We had four line-out opportunities within 10 metres of their line. And we normally score from that position, but we lost all four lineouts.
Pollard, finally Australia get themselves into the Irish 22. It's Pollard's throw, and it's over the top. It's an absolute miss.
And they're the simple basics of the game that we had so right against the British Lions and against, you know, the Springboks and, you know, some of those games against Argentina and the All Blacks. We had those things right. And they just seem to have deteriorated. And the other factor, the simple basic skill set, is the high ball. Why are we the only team in the world that cannot catch a high ball?
Furlong.
Stay inside, stay.
Prendergast sends a tricky one up centre field. Potter gets the timing wrong and Sheehan tidies up.
Their skills you should be learning as a schoolboy, not as a Wallaby.
Speaking of the high ball, one person who has, you know, obviously got excellent skills when it comes to dealing with that facet of the game is Joseph Akuso-Suaalii. Have you been surprised at all to see him spend all of his time in the centres and not tested out too much at fullback, given his skill set?
We haven't really seen that skill set displayed, maybe because he is playing 13, but that doesn't mean you can't set up moves. I think the area where Australia's really struggled is to settle on a 9 and 10 combination. I don't know how many there's been so far in the 15 tests this season, but I don't think the same combination has played two tests in a row. That's sometimes been due to injury, but sometimes Joe just testing players. And to be the best team in the world or in the top three in the world, you've got to have a world-class 9 and 10. We don't have it right at the moment.
Yeah, James O'Connor has been cut adrift for this clash. We've seen Lalasio, Edmair, Donaldson, Liner, Gordon at fly half at various times over a grueling 2025 year. Do you have a sense, Phil, when you watch the wealth and breadth of rugby that you watch, who is the best 10 in Australia right now?
I think all those players that you mentioned have some real strengths in their game, but they also have some weaknesses. And those, whilst the strengths and weaknesses are different, when you average it out, for want of a better term, they're about the same. I really like Tom Liner as a player. He makes the right decisions. He kicks when he should kick, and he runs when he should run, and he passes when he should pass. But obviously there are aspects around some head knocks and size. You know, I think he's a really talented player. But none of those players have really gone into a test match and we've finished the game and we go, wow, this is our number 10 for the future. And it's up to those guys to really nail that, and they haven't just yet.
You're part of the organising committee for the 2027 Rugby World Cup. You've played in three. You've won two. You know a thing or two about preparing from a World Cup from a whole bunch of different positions. What needs to shift from here as we look long-term to the Rugby World Cup for Australia to be in the mix, do you think, Phil?
You know, I think the potential is there. We saw that when we played South Africa and the British Lions and one of the New Zealand tests, that we can really put a good performance together. It's the consistency of that performance that's critical for us. And getting those basic skill things, the lineouts and the high balls, for example, are critical to make that happen. So, you know, I haven't lost hope in any stretch of the imagination. The potential's there to do that. But we need to take a really long-term view about how kids are coached at school and in clubs. Because we went down a path maybe in the early 2000s where everything became very robotic. Everything was overplanned and we coached the skill out of players. And that's absolutely not what Australian rugby has ever been or should have been. But that's where we've ended up. And we need to let players at school and at club, at the junior club level, display their flair. Don't play this robotic plan game. Just play the game with freedom, which is what Italy did against us, what Ireland did against us. There's a game plan in the background, but there's plenty of leeway outside of that game plan to use your skill and use your talent.
Hope springs eternal. The Wallabies take on France Sunday morning. He is hoping they can turn things around. Phil Kearns, thanks so much for your time.
No worries, Patrick. I'll be there watching. Don't worry.
Soundbites. By the time you hear this, we will have started the Ashes. Did you get the aperitif of Monty Panesar v Steve Smith? Monty had a crack at Smith over Sandpapergate, of course. The Aussie was asked about it in the press conference pre-game. Here's how it played out.
I'm going to go off topic for a second here. Who of you in the room has seen Mastermind and Monty Panesar on that? Any of you?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, those of you who have, you'll understand where I'm coming from. And those of you who haven't, do yourself a favour, because it's pretty comical. Yeah, anyone that believes that Athens is in Germany, that's a start. Oliver Twist is a season of the year, and America is a city. Doesn't really bother me, those comments. So, yeah, that's as far as I'll go with that one.
A deep... deep burn. Speaking of unexpected press conference gems, did you see the work experience kid from Sports Illustrated asking Boston Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla about fun in pro sports?
I struggle with that, to be honest with you. I think everyone has a different definition of fun, and it just, you have to find one as a team. And, you know, I think fun's a cop-out sometimes when things aren't going well. Everybody likes to say, well, let's just have fun. And it's like, well, you know, what does that mean? You know, and so, you know, I think you have to define what fun looks like as a team, you know, and then you kind of have to go after that. But, you know, that phrase can be a cop-out sometimes. So as you get older, kid, don't use it, you know. It's like, I just want to have fun. It's like, well, what does that mean? You know. So, you know, you just got to define that. It's a good question. I struggle with that.
Just a heads up to that kid. Do not worry about getting a direct answer from a coach. You're in for a lifetime of that. How about something feel good to finish? What about Ellie Carpenter and her wonder goal for Chelsea in the Champions League?
She'll let it go this time. She'll find Ellie Carpenter. Thompson through the centre. Carpenter goes alone! What a cracker from Ellie Carpenter!
What a strike. Blues drew 1-1 with Barcelona. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Mary Fowler's Instagram, Stan Sport and ESPN UK for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.